I'd like to start in Psalms, the 89th chapter. I want to consider, by the Lord's help this afternoon, walking with the Lord. Psalms chapter 89, I want to read here the 15th verse. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. I'm thankful that we can know the joy of the Lord. I'm thankful that we can... The Lord's given us a new song, a melody in our hearts that's different than the sound of the song we knew before. I'll tell you my testimony. That song that the Lord has placed in our hearts, it's got a ring to it and a joy that comes with it that the world doesn't know. It's foreign to the world, a foreign sound that they don't recognize. Song number 468 came to my mind. It says, by thy power divine, touch the hearts of men. Oh, may they hear the joyful sound and be cleansed from sin by thy blood divine. Lord, we want others to hear the joyful sound, to be able to recognize, as the scripture says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Just get a taste of it, how good the Lord is, and a good dose, a taste of this salvation. Blessed is the people. How happy are the people that know the joyful sound, that recognize it, but that know it within their own hearts. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Thinking about walking with the Lord, scripture says in Proverbs, the 4th chapter, that the path of the just is as a shining light. That's in distinction to what the scripture says in another place, of the path of the wicked, that it's darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. But the Lord wants that our path should be illuminated, that it should be bright, that we don't have to stumble and trip our way through life or try to pick our way through life on our own. But the Lord wants us to be able to walk with Him, to walk in the light of His countenance. So I'd like to look now at a story in the life of Jesus. We find it in the 24th chapter of the book of Luke. Luke 24, this is the time when Jesus had been crucified. You can imagine the emotions that the disciples felt, the followers of Jesus, whether near or far, those that had seen the miracles, those that maybe had a respect and a love for Him. That saw, that received the news, or had been there in person and seen what happened. Can you imagine the sorrow that filled their heart, the questions? We know that the disciples didn't entirely understand things very well. What was to happen, although Jesus had told about it, had foretold that He would be crucified and that He would raise again on the third day, yet it was perhaps one of the darkest times of their lives. Our Savior, our Redeemer, is laid in the tomb over there. And what do we do next? Peter was in a place where it seemed like he didn't know what to do. Kind of without purpose, direction. The Lord's gone now. What do I do? I said I go fishing. I go back to what I know. So the disciples here, as we read in this setting, this was on the first day of the week, the day of the resurrection of the Lord. It says in verse 13 of Luke 24, behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Jesus, as He drew near, and they didn't know who He was, but as He drew near, He knew the countenance of their faces. He knew their hearts. He knew the sorrow that filled their hearts. And it's understandable why they did. As they were talking together and no doubt wondering and reminiscing and remembering the events that had happened and what the Lord had spoken to them and how he was taken and crucified and so much, I'm sure, that was going through their minds. No doubt many questions in their minds of what does all this mean and what's next and what's going to happen. And they were talking and reasoning one with another in sorrow of heart. The one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And now the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. You hear in their voice and their speaking almost a sense of betrayal, a sense of disappointment. We had put all our hope in the Lord. Lord, I was just sure that things were going to turn out differently. I've seen you time and time again to be able to deal with the situations that came and the enemy. But yet it looks like it all ended in defeat here. We had trusted in him that he had been the one that would come and redeem us, but he's been crucified. And we remember something that he had said about coming back the third day, but today's the day and we haven't seen him. So he began to talk with him, commune with him. He said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Jesus never forces his way in with any one of us, but he awaits an invitation that we invite and ask him, Lord, would you come and commune with me? As they were walking and talking together in sorrow of heart and trying to figure it out and more questions than they had answers, the Lord came and began to talk with them and explain to them things that they didn't understand, the pieces of the puzzle that were laying out that they just couldn't figure out how to fit it all together. But Jesus, beginning from the very start, he began explaining and expounding to them. So they constrained him, and Jesus, although he could have gone on, believed it was his desire as well. I want to come with you, but I'm just waiting your invitation. And so he went in and said their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sights. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Oh, didn't our hearts burn within us? Did you feel that too? You notice how when the Lord was talking with us and we didn't know who it was, there was just something about it that brought peace. There was something about it in all of our turmoil of mind and of spirit and our agony that we were going through. Yet whenever he spoke, there was something about the words that he spoke and the way that he spoke them. It brought understanding and a witness to our spirit. You know, the Lord desires to walk with every one of us. He desires to draw nigh unto us. The scripture says, draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto us. The Lord desires to draw nigh to every one of us as we're walking down the road of life. Whatever our situations and our circumstances, have you been in a place yourself where you've had more questions than you have answers? Lord, I just don't understand it. I can't figure this out. And when we're in turmoil of our mind and our spirit, you know the Lord understands those things. And the Lord desires to walk with us throughout our lives, that we can have him to turn to whenever I just don't understand. whenever it's not making sense, whenever my heart is heavy, that I can turn to Him and commune with Him, and the Lord has a way like none other. Oh, I'm thankful that He's a brother, that's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'm thankful for each one of you and for the brethren. I'm thankful for knowing that I can call you and confide in you and ask for your prayers and your support, and we're there one for another. But you know, there are times when I can't understand just what you're going through, nor you what I'm going through. But the Lord always does. The Lord understands and sees and knows exactly what I'm going through. And He's offered and desires to walk with us through our lives. The disciples received benefit from that so many times. Whenever they would walk with the Lord and there were things they didn't understand, Lord, why weren't we able to cast out the devils? Or whenever they were walking and seemed like they were kind of lagging behind the Lord a little bit maybe and started talking amongst themselves about who would be the greatest. Remember, they still thought that this was a kingdom that Jesus was here to set up. And they were just waiting any time Jesus is going to set up His kingdom, and surely we'll be His chosen ones in a special place in the kingdom. And well, I wonder who's going to be at His right hand. I wonder who it'll be. Maybe the ways of man's thinking, so contrary to the way of God's thinking. But you know, it took the Lord coming along and saying, "What were you talking about back there?" Oh, they kind of seemed like hung their head there and weren't real eager to tell Him. You know, the Lord was able to course correct them. The Lord was able to talk with them and explain them and to them and give them understanding. Time whenever they thought maybe the best thing to do would be to call down fire upon the city and the people who wouldn't receive the Lord. Yet the Lord, in His loving rebuke and reproof, began to talk with them and explain things to them. Peter, at a time whenever he was so sure of himself, so confident in his ability and his determination and strength, "Lord, I'll never betray you, though all other men will." Yet the Lord, in talking with him, explaining to him, "Peter, you don't understand. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." You know, the Lord has a way of helping us understand. The Lord has a way, if we'll invite Him to walk with us through life, of helping correct our course whenever I'm not seeing things just right, whenever I'm not thinking about a situation just right, that He can turn me around and help me to recalibrate the way that I'm thinking. Their hearts burned within them. I'd like to look in the book of Exodus. Exodus, the 34th chapter. We read about Moses and his dealings with the Lord, though he was in the Old Testament dispensation. Yet he had a close communion with the Lord. We read in the prior chapter that the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. You ever feel a need for that? I need someone to talk to. I need to be able to explain or to tell about what's on my mind. And a friend is one that listens, that hears, that's there for you, that understands, that has empathy for what you're going through. Moses was able to come to the Lord and explain to Him his frustrations and, "Lord, I don't have the wisdom. I don't know how to go before this people." And the Lord to come down and visit with Moses face to face like a friend. But I'd like to consider now in the 34th chapter, whenever the Lord called Moses up into the mount, he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the 10 commandments. And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the 2 tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he had come down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. When Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh unto him. Whenever Moses had been up in the mountain talking with the Lord, spending time with the Lord alone, all by himself with the Lord, it did something to him. It changed his countenance. When Moses came back down out of that place, he didn't look the same way. He didn't talk the same. There was something markedly different about the countenance of Moses. Folks, we have a privilege today of going boldly into the throne of grace, right into the presence of the Lord to commune with him. Not only is it a privilege, but it is necessary for us that we go, that we spend time in the presence of the Lord. Whenever I'm going through life and whenever there are places that I need some direction, I need some instruction, Lord, I need some counsel here, or I need some comfort, that I go and have a place alone with the Lord that I can spend with him. And it'll make our face shine. The Lord wants us to have a place walking with him that it'll make a difference unto us. Acts, the 4th chapter. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Oh, what better testimony could be given? Not about our greatness or ability or anything of our own graces, but for others to be able to recognize they've been with Jesus. There's something different about them. Folks, I don't know about you, but I hope you found a closet alone where you can get with the Lord. It'll make a difference. How many times that I've been in a place maybe out of sorts and not looking at things just right and a getaway, and oh, how the devil will fight that. To really get away and shut out the world and spend some time with the Lord. He's opposed to it. He'll fight it. He'll try to distract or hinder in any way that he can. But if we can get alone with the Lord, it'll make a difference. In the way that I'm seeing something, and maybe I come to the Lord before and I've got a problem with another individual or something that I'm trying to work through, and maybe I've come kind of out of sorts about it. Lord, you see this other person. Lord, would you talk to him? Would you deal with him? And you know, by the time that it's over, the Lord's pointing the finger down in here, saying, let me work with you. Let's change the whole focus of this thing. And by the time we're done talking there, and my whole perspective has changed. Folks, the Lord can do that with us. Spending some time with the Lord drawing up nigh and walking along with us and begins talking to us and changing the way that I see things. Folks, it's the answer to so many problems that we encounter in life. Get alone with the Lord. Spend some time talking with him. Not just a fleeting moment, but spend some time with him till your heart burns too. Spend some time with him until you feel the witness of his spirit. So song number 109. Says, alone in some secure retreat, the sky o'ershadows me. All nature smiles so soft and sweet. I'm thinking, Lord, of thee. Thinking of thee, O Lord, of thee, musing on things above, till every chord within my soul is tuned with heavenly love. Lord, I need that place. I need to come to a place that I can be tuned. Where maybe I'm a little out of tune. I'm sending out a sound that's just a little off key. Lord, help me to spend some time with you, alone with the Lord, till the Lord can tune my heart. He can change my attitude. Whenever there's problems, maybe between a couple or between brethren or whatever the situation is, you know, a good way to fix that is alone with the Lord. The Lord can take something whenever I'm focused maybe on the other individual, and the Lord can turn it around and he can meet us in those places in our lives. He wants to walk with us throughout our lives in a way that it'll make a difference in the way that we think, and our countenance. I'd like to turn and look at 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 3 really kind of ties into what we read about Moses. When Moses came down off the mountain, his face was shining. Just by being in the presence of the Lord, just by spending that time with the Lord, the effect that it had on Moses and his countenance, it was such that the people who were looking on, as we read, were not able to look on him. They had to put a veil over his face because of the brightness of his countenance. And so it brings it out here as the Old Testament versus the New. Verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 3, "For the administration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious?" In other words, there's something so much greater now. There's a place with the Lord that I can go and tarry in his presence, spending time alone with the Lord, where even greater than what Moses and his change was, where his face shone, there can be a change within our hearts, within our spirit. "Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. For unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." But it requires looking into the glory of the Lord, spending time with the Lord, looking into his word, and communing with the Lord through his Spirit. It says there's a change that takes place. With open face, beholding not in the wickedness of our unrighteousness and sins, but with a heart that's purified, coming unto the Lord, looking into his word, spending time in his presence, it says there's a change that'll happen. That we can behold the glory of the Lord and be changed into that same image from glory to glory, from a lesser state to a greater state. Lord, help me that I have the mind of Jesus. Lord, help me that every chord within my heart be tuned with heavenly love by spending time with the Lord. In the problems of life, in the perplexities of life, folks, there's nothing wrong with coming and bringing them to the Lord. Lord, I don't understand this. Lord, you know what I'm feeling. You know what I'm struggling with. You know what I'm battling. Tell the Lord about it. There's another song that came to mind. It says, "Take time to be holy. Speak oft with the Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those that are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus like him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Let him be thy guide. And run not before him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow the Lord. And looking to Jesus, still trust in his word." The psalm there says, run not before him. Lord, help us to always realize how dependent we are upon him. Whether I feel like it, I recognize it or not, Lord, I need you to help me to see myself. I need you to help me to see my own inadequacies, where my way of thinking maybe is not what it should be. Lord, help me to be able to be conformed to your image. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by his spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above. Take time to spend with the Lord. I'm thankful this afternoon that the Lord desires to have that place with every one of us, that he can walk right alongside of us, that we not rush along before him or tarry along behind, but he wants to walk side by side as a friend beside us. Whenever I feel too weak to take another step, he's there to encourage, to help hold me up, to comfort me, to give me understanding. When there are questions and things that I just don't understand, he wasn't there to, oh, he reproved him a little bit. Oh, fools and slow of heart. But you know, every reproof of the Lord is with love. It's with hope. It's so different than the accusations of the devil. When the devil gets done with you, you feel so just stomped down into the ground and hopeless and in despair and don't know if I can make it. But the Lord's dealings, when we spend time with the Lord, even whenever he will correct us and reprove us and, oh, fools and slow of heart, you know better than this. The Lord in his love and in his mercy desires, if we'll, as the world rushes on, if we'll take time to stop and spend with the Lord. Lord, I want to be in your image. Lord, help me this day. Lord, help me in whatever I face today. Lord, help me to have the mind of Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But as we live in a microwave age, maybe that's even the age before us. As we live in a world where we want everything right now, and we want it quick, and the world is rushing on, and there's so much to deal with and take care of, the most important thing that we can do is to spend time with the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And I've found at times in my life where I've started to get a little slack here, where I haven't taken enough time with the Lord. I start to see it. Other folks around me start to realize it. Lord, help me. Lord, help us all that we spend the time with him in a busy world around us, alone with the Lord, with his spirit, giving him the opportunity to talk with me, to explain to me the things that I don't understand, to give me understanding, to give me comfort. The Lord's there for every one of us, desires to walk beside us as a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I'm so thankful for those times we can have with the Lord, that our hearts can burn within us as well. And what a difference it can make when I get up from my knees. Maybe the situation itself doesn't even look like it's changed, but it can sure look different in the way that I see it, in the way that I'm looking at it, because the Lord's been working on me, because I've given the Lord some time. Lord, adjust some things in my heart. Lord, help me to see it like you see it. Lord, would you give me the grace? Would you impart to me? It's not a fast food drive-through service. The Lord can bless, and he can give us a thought or encouragement on the go, but it will for every one of us, no matter how spiritual or how weak, no matter how long we've lived for the Lord or how short a time, every one of us will have to have this place alone with the Lord, that I spend with him, that I get alone with the Lord, that I allow the Lord to speak with me, and that I can speak with him. You'd pray for me. Amen.